Well, if you have your Bible today, would you join me in the book of Acts? It's the fifth book of the New Testament, Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And just to give you a little background here before we read a couple verses, Acts chapter 1. In fact, why don't we can make our confession here real quick, and if you're turning like I am, there we go. you can still make your confession. Why don't we do that together? Acts chapter 1, if you find your spot, I'd like to invite you to join me as we make this confession together. The words are on the screen if you like to follow along. And if you believe them, let's confess them and just say it like we mean it. All right, ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free. Free indeed, I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. You sound great. Acts chapter 1, Jesus has suffered and died on the cross to pay for our sins. He came back to life 3 days later, and he stayed here on earth for 40 days proclaiming the kingdom of God to his disciples. And before he returned to ascend back into heaven, he gathered his disciples together. And he said, stay here, wait in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Because John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And what did the disciples say after Jesus said that? We'll pick it up here in verse 6, Acts chapter 1, verse 6. It says, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They were wanting Israel to be restored to power, and God would overthrow the Roman government and put Israel back in power. And Jesus had to redirect the focus a little bit. And so he answered in verse 7, Jesus said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. He said, we really don't need to know all the details about the return of the Lord and the establishing of the kingdom, but we do need to know this. Now, we're to know some things, all right, because the word of God tells us. But then he says in verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The word power means ability. You shall receive power or ability when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me, or it's also translated, you shall be my witnesses. You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, right there at home, right where you are, right where you live, you work, where you live your daily lives, and all Judea and Samaria, cross-culturally to people we might not normally associate with, and to the ends of the earth. See, when we are born again, when God's Spirit convicts us of our sin, of unbelief, and we come to that place where we turn from unbelief and we believe in our heart the testimony of God's word that Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins, that I'm separated from God by my sin, but he loved me and paid for my sins, and he came back to life in power, and I believe in Jesus as Lord. When that happens, God's Spirit is called being born again. We're born physically at our date of our birth, but when we turn to Jesus with repentance and faith in our heart, we're born again. We're born spiritually. And every believer since that time is not only spirit born, spirit indwelt. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. And he is the one who gives us the power or ability to be the Lord's witnesses. And so here's a real simple message this morning. I hope we'll get across that we'll accept this truth and embrace it, that we are his witnesses. We are his witnesses. Would you say that with me? We are his witnesses. We need the power of God to change our hearts. We need the power of God to love him. We need the power of God to love others. We need the power of God to make disciples in an increasingly anti-Christian world. It may have been popular at one time to say we're Christian. It's not so popular now. And so in an increasingly anti-Christian and I think I'm not being harsh to say this, just being honest, and a compromising church, we need the power of God to be effective witnesses for Jesus. And thank God that He is available and His power is available to us. Today I want to wrap up just these four messages I've had in a series called Live in the Flow. We talked about the words or the letters F-L-O-W, faith, live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. L, love, we love because He first loved us. O, obedience, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then the W stands for witness. Live in the flow. And I'll just read a scripture to you from the words of Jesus in John 7. John chapter 7, and they'll be on the screen. Verse 37 says this, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, notice, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. We sung about the living water and the river of life today. So flow, that's where I got the title of the series, Live in the Flow. Flow, faith, love, obedience, witness. And then verse 39, but this Jesus spoke concerning the Spirit whom those believing in would receive, for the Holy Spirit had not yet been given, for Jesus was not yet glorified. But 10 days after Jesus spoke those words that you're going to receive power, the Holy Spirit came, and He endued them with that power. And on that very day, 3,000 people end up getting saved under the power of God's Holy Spirit. Think about this a moment. We are sitting here today, 2,000 years later, on the other side of the planet, because they did what Jesus said, and in the power of God's Spirit, they went out and shared the good news and made disciples. I can tell you, I'm glad. I'm glad. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm glad God is my Father. My sins are forgiven. I haven't arrived, but I'm on my way. I thank God for the grace. We are His witnesses. And if you'll turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, y'all have done so great in memorizing these verses. This one's going to be a little challenge to you, okay? This one might be a little bit longer, but the message is basically simple. I believe you're going to agree with the message. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and one verse, verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5 says this. This is a great truth to help us keep a proper focus and a proper perspective, all right? A proper focus and a proper perspective. Notice what the scripture says here. For we do not preach ourselves. Somebody said, if it's not about Jesus, it's not a testimony, it's a testifony. So we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. If you could get that much of it, that's great, because that'll help us have the proper focus. But then he goes on, he says this. Let me start again. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus Lord, and ourselves your bondservants or your servants for Jesus' sake. So there's a proper focus on Jesus, but there's a proper perspective that I'm not arrogantly condescending and telling you what you ought to do. I'm coming with a servant's heart to share the good news to a fellow sinner who's just received God's grace. That's all. I'm just a fellow pauper who found the bread of life, or he found me. I'm not coming across, you know, in the wrong way. It's with a servant's heart. So a proper focus and a proper perspective. Would you read that verse together with me out loud? For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. Y'all think y'all can get at least part of that this week? I think you can. Because again, simple, the first part, hey, we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. So I think you can at least do that, but that would be great. I want to challenge you and see how many of us can come back next week with that. Then over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, two verses, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 20 and 21, because God calls us to reveal our Father's heart to people. And the Bible says this, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, because we are his witnesses, right? If we know him, we are his witnesses. So he says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. What is an ambassador? A representative from one nation or one kingdom to another, right? So we represent the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We represent the kingdom of heaven while we're here on earth. For we are his ambassadors we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God because the Holy Spirit is in us. If you're a Christian, don't you want others to know God? Don't you want other people to follow Jesus? That's the Holy Spirit in us. And it's like he's imploring, he's pleading through us, saying, be reconciled to God. Verse 21, for he, the Father, made him, Jesus, the Son, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. See, the price has already been paid. Everyone, your sins have already been paid for. Past, present, and future, Jesus died on the cross to pay for them 2,000 years ago. The sins already paid for, but not everyone has been reconciled because not everyone believes, and some people don't even know. So God has called us. We are his witnesses. And it's like we're to reveal our Father's heart to let people know you can be made right with God because sin has separated us from God and everyone's not okay. And all roads don't lead to heaven. And it's not your truth and my truth. It's God's truth. It's the only saving truth, and the only name that can get us to heaven is the name of Jesus. People can mean well, and people can be sincere. I understand. I'm not bashing anyone. But if this book is inspired by God and it's true, then there is only one way to heaven, and it's through Jesus. And we are to be his witnesses. One of the ministries I support on a monthly basis, I came across them actually through a class I was taking, is called Joshua Project. And they, every day on the app, if you want to, it's a free app, you can download it. Every day there's a different people group that is unreached. They don't know the Lord like today. This particular group, however many it may be, it could be thousands, it could be millions. 0.0 Christians. None. There are thousands of groups like that around the world. There is no Christian witness there. But the idea is the Joshua Project is reaching out to people saying, would you join us in prayer that God will open the door and God will send laborers like Jesus told us to go and reap that harvest. And they wrote something. This is what they say about leading other people to Jesus. They said, relational evangelism is a genuine way to reach the hearts of unbelievers to Jesus Christ. Relational evangelism. That means befriending someone. It's a genuine way to reach the hearts of unbelievers. Living out a Christian lifestyle, that's very important. Living out a Christian lifestyle among friends goes further than many other ways of reaching others with the good news. I can preach at people on a street corner. I can pass out gospel tracts. They all can have their place. But to live as a follower of Jesus Christ, day in and day out, at home, on the job, in the class, in the neighborhood, the gym, the store, wherever I am, we need the power of God's Spirit to live like that, to follow him. But see, that's being a witness. It's being a witness. And thank God his power is available to us. We are his witnesses. Would you say that with me? We are his witnesses. Would you say this? For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Amen. See, y'all are already, I think, starting to get that. That's great. Would you write these verses down? I want to ask you to turn somewhere else in a moment. But Acts chapter 22, we'll just read them off the screen. Acts chapter 22, the Bible says this in verse 19. This is an apostle who's writing, but he's given his testimony before he came to know the Lord. He says, so I said, Lord, they know that in every synagogue I imprisoned and beat those who believe on you. Think about that a second. He said, I imprisoned and beat those who believe on you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by consenting to his death and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. Isn't it something that God changed that man's heart to such a degree that he wrote close to half the New Testament? But see the word martyr there in Acts 22:20? when you're martyr, you know what that word is? It's the exact same word Jesus used when he said, you shall be my witnesses. Witnesses and martyrs, same word. Does that mean we have to die to be the Lord's witnesses? No. It means we have to live for him. And that is the key, isn't it? To live for him. But see, as we, if I say live in the flow, if we live in faith and love and obedience, then our lives are going to be a witness. And as we live in the flow, we're going to grow more like Jesus. As we live in the flow, we're going to be a godly example to others. See, don't overlook right in your own home. I hope that we lived a consistent life to Brittany, that she could see. She didn't see us always at our best, but I hope she saw something in reality. It's still being that witness. Whether our sons and daughters choose to follow Jesus, I know they have to make that choice. But our part is just to live it out and then to be those witnesses for the Lord. So we become godly examples to others. We encourage them in their own walk with the Lord. That's being a witness, and it's living in the flow. And the Lord knows that's what we need in our day. We need, in fact, I'll even say this. I believe some people, some watching right now, some maybe even right here, you might not think you have a God-ordained purpose. You feel like my life is just, all I do is turn the calendar every day, just turn the page, nothing else changes. I want to tell you, if you're breathing, you have a God-ordained purpose for your life. And part of that purpose is that God will use you to be a light to someone just in your daily life. He will use you in your own unique personality and individuality. You don't have to be Billy Graham or anyone else. You just need to be you and follow Jesus. And part of your God-given life purpose relates to being a witness for him. Would you turn to Colossians? I want to just share a few thoughts with you from there. Colossians chapter 4. And I hope give three steps that will help us be effective witnesses. We're called to plant and water. Brother Mark, you prayed it at the start of the service. One plants, one waters, but God gives the increase. So how can we be effective? But I want to ask you this. I want to get your input too. Maybe you can relate to me. I don't think I've done a very good job. I don't think I've been very effective in leading people to the Lord over the years. But I want to. I want to lead more people to the Lord. And of course, I have an opportunity here just in speaking where I am. I always want to share the gospel every week, because I never know, someone may be here one time and that's it. Someone may be watching one time or listening one time. I'll never have that opportunity. And so I want to be better, but I'll admit to you that there have been times in my life, on a couple occasions over the years, where I really sense God moving on my heart to say something to someone, to bring up Jesus or to bring up scripture or somehow, and I didn't do it. I don't know if any of you can relate to what I'm saying. But let's talk about this before we kind of close it out. Why? What hinders us? Now, I know some ideas in my own heart and mine, but let's expose it. And because that, I believe it'll help us overcome it. What hinders us in being the Lord's witness, Rick? Fear. Okay, Debbie, were you going to say, let's take that a little bit further, because there can be different types of fear. How many, first of all, can relate to what was just said? Fear, look at that. Oh, my goodness. All of us, right? Just about. But fear of what? Okay, fear of what? I'm sorry? Fear of rejection. Fear of rejection. You had the, yes, Rick? Fear of, I may not know the right words to say. They might ask me something, I don't know the answer. Fear that I'll be rejected. They might not like me.
To add to that, fear of not remember verses.
Okay. So maybe fear of not remembering what I need to remember in a moment when, to say the right thing. Anyone else? You think fear of ridicule is a strong fear? Fear of not being qualified. So maybe, someone might think, well, man, I'm not perfect. Look at my life. I'm a mess. How can I be a witness for the Lord? Right? So do you see how that's anything else? But think about this a second. Isn't pretty much what we mentioned, where is the focus? It's on us, isn't it? They might reject me. I might not be able to answer. I'm not what I was. I don't want to be, man, I don't like being made fun of. I'm a sensitive guy. I can't stand it. But I've got to, if my focus is on God and I love enough, I'll be willing. So can I just give you these three? I believe there will be good action steps for us of how we can be effective witnesses. And it's to have open hearts, open doors, and open mouths. Open hearts, open doors, and open mouths. We can put it on the screen and you can follow along. But before we read this scripture in Colossians, let me give you one for this first one, open hearts. The reference there is Acts 16:14. Acts chapter 16, verse 14 says this. This is part of our confession we just made. This is why this we say, my heart is open, is based on this verse. 16:14. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshiped God. I think that's important because worship can help open hearts. It says that she worshiped God and the Lord opened her heart. Who opened her heart? The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. But let's start with our heart. Before we pray for the Lord to open someone else's heart, is my heart open to God? Is my heart open to His will? How much do I want to see others believe in God and follow Jesus? Am I willing? Do I love enough to befriend someone? Do I love enough to be patient and persevere with someone? Do I love enough to be inconvenienced? I remember one night, I'm going to share a couple testimonies real quick. I was over at the men's shelter. We were feeding people one night, Brother Anthony and myself. And I don't remember all the details, but a man came in and needed some paperwork from the police department. And he needed a ride over there in order to be able to stay that night. And I'll be honest with you, I was tired. I wanted to go home. I did my time. I served him a meal. I said a prayer. But a man needed a ride. And honestly, I didn't want to volunteer myself. But I'm not saying the Lord spoke to me, but I just sensed in my heart, like Jesus saying to me, if it was me, would you give me a ride? So guess what I did? I gave that man a ride. And I thank God that I could and helped him to be able to have a place to stay rather than on the streets that night. But you see, sometimes it's not always convenient, is it? So, but if I love enough and my heart is open, then I pray that God would open someone else's heart because God will use our prayers to open other people's hearts and to accomplish His will, just like He used someone else's prayers to open ours. If any of us are following Jesus today, it is because God opened our heart to His word and to receive Jesus as Lord. And that is a supernatural work of God. It wasn't just, yes, we're to be prepared. They might have had a convincing argument. They lived a great lifestyle. But if God does not open the heart, we can talk until we pass out and it will have no fruit. Talking about being effective witnesses for the Lord. We need to pray for God to open hearts supernaturally, to receive the truth and receive the word and receive Jesus. So that's this scripture here, Acts chapter 16 and verse 14. Thank God He's chosen to use us. We are His witnesses, brothers and sisters. We are His witnesses and God chooses to use us to extend His kingdom. Open hearts, open doors and open mouths. Colossians, are you there in Colossians chapter 4? Would you look at this in verse 2? Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 says, continue earnestly in prayer. Being vigilant, that means being alert, being watchful in prayer with thanksgiving Verse 3, meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word. Open doors are God-ordained opportunities for ministry. I'll say that again. Open doors are God-ordained opportunities for ministry. And you can see a pattern here in the New Testament. When God opened a door for ministry, Satan sent opposition. Satan was always trying to hinder. See, that's another reason why we need to pray, because there is a spiritual battle going on for people's souls and for people's lives. And this is not just, you know, it's an eternal situation here. And so we pray because, in fact, it says in 1 Corinthians 16 that the Lord has opened an effective door and there are many adversaries. Sometimes when the Lord opens the door, then the adversaries come out of hiding. And they try to impede. You see what I'm saying? That's why if you relate it to what I said, when you sense that I should tell this person about Jesus, or I should share a verse, or offer to pray, or anything, any type of ministry, it wasn't the Holy Spirit who was hindering you. It was a different spirit. So we need the power of God's Spirit, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses. So we are his witnesses. And I'm typically a quiet person. I'm generally quiet. Of course, I can't just stand up here and y'all look at me. So I have to speak here. But you can ask him. I mean, I'm pretty quiet. Ask people here I graduated with in school. They probably about the last thing they picture me doing up here. But God will use us if we're just willing. That's the key, is just being willing. Open hearts, open doors. Jesus said, don't say the harvest is all 4 months from now. He said, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they're already white for harvest. So if we take the focus off ourselves, we focus on God and focus on others, then look. So when you're out somewhere, maybe you're on a job, maybe you're shopping, maybe I've done this before. You're frustrated because you ordered something or bought something and you have to take it back in return. You got to wait in the line and go through customer service, or you're on the phone or whatever it is. I'm trying to look at it now like it could be an opportunity for ministry, and my testimony is more important than me getting my way, because there's a bigger picture of redemption. Now I want my way, but somebody could be observing me, and I don't want to make it hard for that person to come to Jesus. So open hearts, open doors. So I look, so I'm at work. Lord, may you use me today. Help me. Whose heart would you open? And then just be aware. Hey, is somebody searching? Does this person need prayer? Is this person hurting? Do they need comfort? Just reaching out to them. You don't have to have a theology degree for that. You just have to have a heart that's willing. Open hearts, open doors, but then we do need to open our mouth. Open mouths. Colossians chapter 4, verse 4 says this. I got to go back to verse 3 because it picks up the sentence there. Meanwhile, praying for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm also in chains. Paul wrote this letter while he was imprisoned. Verse 4, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Now, I said Paul was imprisoned here. Christians are not generally persecuted for being silent. Right? If you're just Mr. Rogers, the nice guy, nice neighbor next door, you probably won't get a lot of grief. But if you say Jesus, and if you speak the word of God, you might ruffle some feathers. But are we willing, again, to do what the Lord would have us to do? I look at it like this. If we do not share the good news of how we can be made right with God, how will people know? God has chosen to use those of us who know him as his sons and daughters to share the good news with others. We typically want to share good news, right? But see, this one is a little different because we sense the spiritual battle taking place. And that's why we have to have enough love to overcome the fear. The Bible says this in verse 5, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Would you read that verse with me on the screen? Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. We need to be wise about what we say and how we act in front of non-believers. And that includes text, email, social media, whatever the case may be. We need to be wise. Some translations say, when it says redeeming the time, say, make the most of every opportunity. Brother Mark, you prayed this again when we opened the service. And I don't know if you come up here, you might have sneaked and looked at my notes before you pray. But verse 6 says this, let your speech always be with what? With grace, seasoned with salt. Sometimes we might be saying the right words, but we might need to add a little flavor. We might need to put a little salt on it so make it a little easier to swallow for somebody else to taste. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt. Notice that you may know how you ought to answer each one. We need to be wise. Would you write this verse down? We'll put it on the screen. It's 1 Peter 3:15. The context is, if you're persecuted for doing what's right, you'll be blessed. Here's how it words it in the next verse then. 1 Peter 3:15, the English Standard Version. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. Notice, always being prepared. Would you say that with me? Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that's in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect, not arrogance and harshness. You see what I'm saying about that verse? That we have a servant's heart, proper focus, Jesus, proper perspective, I'm serving the Lord. So I'm not bashing, I'm not attacking, I'm not getting my point across. I'm sharing the good news to someone else who has just received the blessing of grace. So open hearts, open doors, and then open mouths. And open mouth could be just being willing to, again, just say a kind word. It might be something to share on a verse with someone. It might be sharing the gospel. It might be sharing a prayer. But if we plant and water, then God can give the increase. I want to tell you about two events just in my life real quick, and then I'll close. Years ago, the church blessed me to be able to attend a couple of pastors' conferences out with Pastor Jack Hayford in California at Church on the Way. Real man of God. God has used him powerfully, and not just in this nation, but around the world. He's authored many books, wrote about 500 songs. One of the worship chorus, Majesty. Majesty wrote that one. And I really wanted to go to this conference because it was limited to like 40-something people, and I thought, man, that would be a nice setting. But it was a full week. It was a week-long class all day, events at night. One night we did go to his home, just had dinner there at the home. Wednesday we were in the midweek service. Thursday we attended like a Holocaust museum, so it was worked into our class. And then we attended on Saturday, and Brittany and Kim went on that trip. And so they were back at the room, and they were waiting for me to get back so they could go tour Hollywood. Or go somewhere. And I was tired. We were flying out there, you're jet lagged, and you got a whole week of classes and come in. And I was getting in the hotel or in the elevator, and you know how some of the keys, it looks like a credit card that you use to open the door? Well, they had given us like a pad folio that had, a legal pad, take notes as part of the class. And it was a fellow, a brother there I met from Tennessee. He was a Presbyterian pastor. And, we found out we were staying, because I recognized him. We were in a hotel together, and so we went in the elevator. And I just wanted to go home, take a break, and then we'd do something with Kim and Brittany. So I went to open the pad folio, and I had the little key on it, like the inside here. And when I went to pull it out, Jack Hayford, one of his songs, said something about holy. That was one of the titles. He had given us the words, and I had it on the inside where you could see it. And the elevator was kind of crowded, so when I opened it, I got the key out, and I went to close it, and someone behind me stuck their hand in this pad folio and said, holy, holy, what? What's that? And I opened it, and he was seeing the title of the song, Holy, Holy, and he said, oh, I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you. I was thinking, I want to go take a nap. So I went ahead, and this Presbyterian pastor was willing to come along. And so he was on a different floor. So I went ahead and, followed him. And that may not be wise for everyone to do because you have to be very careful in our day. But he came in, he opened the door, and, you know, had the room there, and he was, no one else was in the room. And he went over and grabbed this back, a black bag, had a zipper on it, and he said, "This is going to pay for y'all." And he opened it up. I don't know if he was going to get a gun or what. And he unzipped it and reached in and pulled out a wad of money that was folded up like it looked like in a rubber band, you know. And he pulled off a couple, I don't even remember, hundreds. I don't remember what it was. I really don't even remember. Because he handed it to me, and I said, "I don't want your money." And, you know, I just wanted, you know, we were there. So it turned out, after we talked to him, he shared some of his life experience. Young guy, kind of like, look like he might have been in a little bit of the punk scene or whatever at the time. And I just wanted to bring him to the point of receiving Jesus. And so we were sitting, like, you know, on the edge of the bed here at the foot. And I tried to bring him to that place. And I said, "Would you like to just open your heart to Jesus and to follow him?" And he was sitting there, and he was like bouncing his, you know, how you can move your feet like that, or you're on the end of the bed. And I could see he was wrestling with it, like God's spirit was convicting him. And then he all of a sudden stood up and said, "No, that's it. That's my decision. I'm not doing it." I said, "Okay." I said, "Could we pray with you?" "Yeah." And so we prayed for him. And I left that day. I didn't lead him to the Lord, but I hope I made it easier for the next person God would send to his path. Amen. We didn't get into an argument. I didn't beat him over the head. And it was just, well, when we were praying, I was kind of taking the lead, and the brother beside me was praying kind of softly. And I could hear him praying in tongues. I just figured he was a charismatic Presbyterian. And when I finished, you know, he said, "Hey, you know, whatever." But the pastor said, "I just got my prayer language." I said, "Well, praise the Lord." But see, that was just, God just opened the door. And then, but I've been over to like the men's shelter on another occasion. And, you know, always offer, "Hey, we pray. If you need prayer, you know, we bless the food, but we're here to serve you." And one night, a young man came to me afterward. He said, "Do you have a moment?" I said, "Yeah." We sat down at a table, just the two of us, and he was telling me some things that had gone on in his life. And I had a Bible with me, and I said, "Would you be willing to read this verse?" He said, "Yeah." I turned around. It was Revelation 3:20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and dine with him and he with me." I said, after he read, I said, "What does that sound like to you?" He said, "It sounds like an invitation." I said, "Would you like to open your heart to Jesus right now?" He said, "Yes." I had opportunity to lead him to the Lord. So that night I was rejoicing coming home from the men's shelter. But see, we just don't know what the Lord's going to do. Our part is just to be faithful. We are his witnesses. I'm just asking now, see, again, every true child of God is spirit born and spirit indwelt. But if we want to be spirit empowered as a witness for Jesus, we must be willing to believe God, and we must have open hearts and pray for open doors and pray for God to give us the right words, a word in season. We are his witnesses. If you want to be a spirit-empowered witness, he's available to us. And I say, I want to join you because I want to lead more people to Jesus in however many days I've got left in my life than I've ever done before, and to help them follow the Lord as a disciple of the Lord. Can we stand together as we close in prayer?